T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, Jarvis Davis coming up in just about 20 minutes here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Nick Hale Show, Hour 3. Of course, you can always download the Radio.com app if you missed any of today's show, including Brian Baldinger as well as Sarah Spencer from the AJC. We're taking you up until 2:30 today before we hand it off to the Chiefs and the Browns, AFC Divisional Game on tap here on 92.9 The Game. All right, so a couple of things I want to get to here as we get back to football. Number one is the notion that the Atlanta Falcons, and I have always been intrigued by when we get to NFL draft talk, you know, best available versus position of need. And I think the widely accepted train of thought is you always take the best available player. You never draft based on need, because then you're reaching to fill a hole where that player might not be worthy of going in that pick, or maybe you can't justify it as much. But I feel like that kind of becomes a little hypocritical when we have conflict because, well, what if you need a quarterback and, you know, some can argue that's the best available guy. You know what I'm saying? It's like, well, we need X, Y, and Z, so we're going to draft based on need. And then you get ridiculed for it because people will think it's a reach. So the whole best available, which has always been like, well, you can't go wrong if you draft best available. Just get players that can play and figure it out later. Well, if the Falcons hypothetically had the first overall pick and the best available player was a wide receiver, well, it would be foolish, even though Devontae Smith is the best available, you don't need another receiver. You've got Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley. You have an excess of riches at that one position. There's really no need to go there. But it's interesting at 4, and I heard Mike and Carl talking about this week, that if you go best available at 4, how is it not Devontae Smith? And I'll go back to what I just said a moment ago. If I'm the Falcons, I can't take another receiver. In fact, I don't think they would really consider it, to be honest. Because whether it's Terry Fontenot, the new GM, whether Arthur Smith, the new head coach, ends up having some say in the draft, I can't imagine the consensus being, we'll go receiver. Not with all the holes that this team has. And about 30 minutes ago on the show, I mentioned how taking Najee Harris would be a mistake. Yeah, you need a running back, but that's probably third or fourth on the checklist of everything you need this upcoming April and May. So I actually think that it would be a major mistake if the Falcons took either Alabama guy at 4, Devontae Smith, the receiver, or Najee Harris, the running back. In my world, here's what I think the three options are for the Falcons. And I've been pretty consistent with this, but I'm going to add in another wrinkle. They've got to do one of three things. There are really only three options for this new regime with this franchise. Number one, you draft your quarterback of the future. Whether that is because you believe Matt Ryan has 2 years left, Matt Ryan has 1 year left, or the small sliver of a percentage chance that you could trade Matt Ryan this offseason, you draft the quarterback of the future. Whether that's Justin Fields, whether that's Zach Wilson, whether that's Trey Lance, which I don't think it would be. I think it would come down to Fields if he's there, or possibly Zach Wilson. I think if Justin Fields is there at four, you take him. No ands, ifs, or buts about it. If Zach Wilson is there, I would still lean towards taking him, but I'm not as sold that the Falcons will. So that's option one, quarterback at four. Option number two is you draft Penei Sewell, the offensive tackle out of Oregon that opted out of the college football season this year because of COVID. He is hands down the best offensive lineman prospect in this draft. And if you are truly hell-bent on replicating what the Titans have done here in Atlanta with Arthur Smith, with Matt Ryan in the role of Ryan Tannehill, and a running back, whoever that might be, round two, round three, round four, free agency, trade, whatever it might be, to get that Derrick Henry-type production, well, then you draft Penei Sewell and you get that offensive line where it needs to be. You could easily transition a guy like Caleb McGarry from tackle to guard. You can move things around. Penei Sewell is that good. I know it's not sexy. I know we're not going to be taking calls for 2 weeks on Penei Sewell over the excitement of Penei Sewell. I get it. It's not Devontae Smith sizzle. It's not the flash of Najee Harris. But Penei Sewell would give you a franchise caliber tackle for a dozen years. So that's option two. And then option number three, and this would not be the most widely accepted decision, but it's pretty savvy. And if you get a team that's desperate, it makes sense trading down. If somebody calls you with pick 7, pick 8, pick 12, and they say, hey, we'll give you X, Y, and Z to move up to 4 because we have a guy we really target and we really covet. If you're the Falcons, how do you turn that down? You have 6 picks. You don't have any cap space, really. You acquire more assets. And then at 7, at 8, at 10, maybe it is a pass rusher. Maybe it is a defensive tackle. Perhaps a linebacker, Micah Parsons. Perhaps another corner to go opposite of Vejay Terrell. Maybe a Patrick Surtain from Alabama. But I would also entertain the idea, if you do trade down, acquire more assets, now if you're thinking Devontae Smith, Najee Harris, Kyle Pitts, tight end from Florida, it's a little easier to accept, to swallow, to digest. Again, I don't think trading down, taking Najee Harris at 8, all of a sudden Arthur Smith's going to recreate Derrick Henry. Because the offensive line still has issues. But those would be the three options. You know, we could talk about best available, and you can fall in love with Devontae Smith and Najee Harris, but to me it comes down to this. It's either quarterback, the offensive tackle from Oregon, or trade down. Those are the three options. 404-741-0929. Let me bring in my producer, Garrett Chapman, who has a good feel on this, and he does a lot of stuff with on the Falcons Facebook stuff on Sundays during the season. So let me ask you flat out, Garrett, right now, you sign up for Penei Sewell and you bump McGarry inside?
No, that's exactly what I would do. I mean, Caleb McGarry, when he came out in the draft, he was actually projected as a guard. He could play tackle, and that's what Thomas Dimitroff drafted him to do, but he could transition into guard pretty seamlessly, put him at right guard, maybe even left guard, depending on where you want to put Lindstrom. But he would transition pretty well, and I think that would work out very well for the Falcons.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's not something that we're all going to fawn over, but if you know the way good football teams are put together, this would be a great football move to draft Penei Sewell. And look, when I talk about building a team and going from 4-12 to being a legit contender for the Super Bowl, like, there's a hierarchy for building a team. And here's the way I would do it. Probably my top 10 positions in the NFL. If you want to say, all right, here's how we get a great franchise. Well, you got to get the quarterback. That's number one. All right, so you got Matt Ryan short term. Maybe you have Justin Fields long term. Then you go from quarterback to offensive line. Give me a left tackle for a right-handed quarterback. Give me a right tackle for a left-handed quarterback. the blindside tackle for your quarterback, in my opinion, second most important position in football behind the quarterback. Number three, edge rusher. Whether it's a defensive end in a 4-3, an outside backer in a 3-4, you got to be able to generate pressure. Number four, whatever you can find in this day and age that is closely resembling a shutdown, lockdown corner. The way the game's officiated, it's hard to truly have a lockdown corner anymore, but you got to have a guy that you feel comfortable with going to battle against the opposing team's number one receiver. Whether that's Jalen Ramsey against Davante Adams, Marlon Humphrey against Stephon Diggs, you got to have that corner. So quarterback, offensive line, edge rusher, corner, top four. Then I go defensive line on the interior, somebody that can get push up the middle. Then I go back to the offensive line, get my other tackle or a guard or a center, somebody on the interior. That would be five and six. And then I round it out seven through 10, running back, receiver, linebacker, safety. You can find running backs in rounds two, three, and four. You can find receivers rounds two, three, and four. Linebackers, dime a dozen. If you got a great pass rush and a good secondary, linebackers at that second level, they almost become like the third most important. I mean, I'd love to have a Ray Lewis in the middle, Zach Thomas. But I if my pass rush is good and my corners are good, Foye Oluokun and Deion Jones are good enough. And then, of course, safety. Somebody that can play center field or somebody that can be an eighth man in the box. So whether that's, you know, your center field patrolman like an Ed Reed or a guy like a Bob Sanders, a Troy Polamalu that will come down and smash you in the run game. Although the eighth man in the box, run-stopping safety, is kind of falling away now in this day and age in the NFL with how fast teams go, spacing. I want two safeties that can cover more than be run stuffers. 404-741-0929. Let's get to Michael in Snellville, who's next on Sports Radio 92.9.
Hey, man. What's up, Michael? Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yep, I got you, buddy. Go ahead.
Awesome, man. Hey, 100% agree with Penei Sewell. You look at the Jordan Love pick from last year, how much better would the Packers be today, especially since Bakhtiari is out with that guy in the lineup with them. If you do a Justin Fields pick, man, it's like, you know, the equivalent is Aaron Rodgers to Brett Favre, but even the Packers were way more competitive back then than the Falcons are now. You look at Kansas City, how they drafted that tackle about 10 years ago, and now he's still in there and they're still doing well later. I just think I agree with you 100% that you want to go with just somebody who's going to be in the franchise for at least a decade. I just think Penei is where you got to go.
All right. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate the call. I think you're referring to Eric Fisher, the Chiefs tackle that they drafted probably close to 8 years ago. But, yeah, I mean, look, you bring up the Jordan Love trade, like the Jordan Love pick. That is such a terrible pick. Like, and look, they might move on from Aaron Rodgers in 2 years, or God forbid Aaron Rodgers gets hurt and they look brilliant. But the guy took you to an NFC championship. And you didn't use your first-round pick on anything to help him. And he's got you back in the NFC Championship again this year. It's just incredible. But, yeah, I mean, look, Penei Sewell will be a fantastic pick for the Atlanta Falcons. Because you have Matt Ryan, you have Arthur Smith, now you have a stud tackle. Well, now you can get a running back in rounds two, three, or four. And you might have what the Tennessee Titans had the last 2 years. And, by the way, Derrick Henry, 45th overall, round two. Not saying you'll find another Derrick Henry, but you can certainly find guys that will run well behind a great offensive line if you invest in it. And I know they've invested in it, but they haven't really executed, have they? Five first-round picks on the Falcons' offensive line? Can't run the ball. All right, 404-741-0929. We will come back on the other side, talk all things Falcons with our man Jarvis Davis, Falcons reporter for 92.9 The Game. We'll see what Jarvis has in store for us. Next, as Arthur Smith is your new Falcons head coach. Back after this. All right, one thing that Georgia football fans should be very, very excited about, that's coming up in about 20 minutes. But right now we go out to the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Welcome in our boy Jarvis Davis, Falcons reporter for Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Jarvis, what's going on, buddy? How are you?
Nick, how you doing, man?
I am doing excellent. Not as good as Arthur Smith, but I can't complain. You know, I'm working. I, you know, pay the bills, make ends meet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. Dad is a billionaire. Just got hired as the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, man. What more can you ask for?
I know. Look, I mean, not everybody can be Arthur Smith and be handed jobs because of his dad, but no, I'm just kidding. So your reaction, because I thought this was a really good hire. He was second on my list behind Eric Bieniemy. We'll get to Bieniemy in a couple of minutes, but what was your initial reaction when the news came out that the Falcons officially hired Arthur Smith?
Initially, I was kind of like, meh. It was kind of a meh move, you know, because it wasn't a sexy hire because, you know, I had Eric Bieniemy at number one on my list. I wanted to see what he could do as a leader of a team, in his own, having his own organization and running things. I wanted to see what that would look like. But as I kind of looked into it a little bit more with Arthur Smith, it's kind of becoming a little bit more interesting to me because he's a guy that started off as a quality control coach and worked his way up. He survived four different regimes in Tennessee. So for a guy to be able to stick around and hang around, you know, it has to be something there. And I think that when you look at when he took over as the offensive coordinator, that was a Pro Bowl year for Ryan Tannehill. Yes, Ryan Tannehill, who was a wide receiver and played quarterback for 1 year in college and was drafted by the Miami Dolphins and looked at as a bust. Yeah, that guy. He ended up being a Pro Bowler in his first year as the OC. And Derrick Henry has had some of his best years as a running back as well under his tutelage. So there are some interesting things that I've seen with Arthur Smith has accomplished, and that's all we kind of have to really go off of because we really don't know what he's going to be as a head coach, but we do know he has an interesting track record, and hopefully it transfers.
You know, it's interesting. I said a couple of hours ago that if Eric Bieniemy doesn't get a job this cycle, it is a total crime. I think he's absolutely deserving, and he should be the number one target for a lot of coaching staffs around the country for vacancies. But, you know, we had Brian Baldinger on from radio.com in the first hour, and he said that, look, Bieniemy right now is kind of a victim of the Chiefs' success. He keeps coaching this late into the calendar year, and it becomes more difficult. And I understand that from the Falcons' standpoint and any other team that's looking for a guy. I mean, you can sit here and keep holding out and waiting for Bieniemy, but if you put a guy like Arthur Smith on hold and you put him on the back burner, odds are he's going to get snatched up. So you have to act, you know, relatively quickly. If Eric Bieniemy doesn't get the Texans job with Deshaun Watson, I mean, in all likelihood, he's back as the OC for another year. I can't wrap my head around it. What do you make of it?
I think it's a travesty that we're still trying to justify Eric Bieniemy not being a head coach. For one reason, the Falcons waiting for to get their guy is something that we've seen before. You know, because guess what? Dan Quinn, they did the same thing for Dan Quinn. They waited that thing out. And a lot of people were looking at them saying that, okay, you guys are going to wait for a defense coordinator with the Seattle Seahawks. I mean, it makes sense. So if it made sense back then, why not now? So and that's the thing that I hope that as we continue to dig and try to figure this thing out, why this guy's not a head coach, I hope that comes out because the only thing I've seen is that he doesn't interview well. And that's been for the past 2 years we've been hearing that. And I think it's just a travesty that all of these little justifications continue to just leak out and try to explain away why this guy's not being a head coach. And I'm sick of it, to be honest with you, Nick.
Yeah, no, I'm with you as well. I think it's twofold. I think they got to do more to the Rooney Rule, number one. They've got to revise that, make it even more of a, I mean, whatever, however you want to phrase it as far as one of the requirements and rules. And then also, I think they also got to really, you know, revise the way some of these coaches who are still working in the playoffs have the opportunity to interview for something bigger and better without the notion of, well, he's not going to be really focused on the game plan for that coming week because he's already plotting his exit strategy. I think it's twofold. It works both ways, right?
Of course it is. I mean, because these guys are professionals. These guys don't want to they don't want to burn any bridges, the guys that are, you know, vying for these jobs. And secondly, they want to be able to move on and be promoted and know that you know, hey, you can trust them to be a professional, because that's at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. We saw Steve Sarkisian call plays in the national championship game, yep. And everybody knew he did the whole presser. And, you know, he walked his very lovely wife and took pictures and all that stuff with the Texas hook'em and all that stuff, and he still went out there and called plays for the national championship. So what are we talking about here? So we're saying we could do that in college, but you can't do that in the NFL. I call BS on that. So I think that they need to get with the times. Get with the times. Like all this behind the back door stuff and, oh, they might do this or they might do that. I think the NFL need to look at this thing and say, you know what? You guys can be hired. You guys can interview. Still keep this interview process the same. I understand that. But if the team says they want to hire that guy, they can go ahead and announce that this is going to be our guy, but he's going to continue to work and finish out the playoffs as long as it goes, even if it goes into the winning the Super Bowl. And it's just that simple.
Jarvis Davis, Falcons reporter, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, is joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. All right, so let's get to the draft, because now we're talking about, all right, what do we do at 4? Do we go best available? Well, what happens if best available is DeVonta Smith? Or what happens if best available is Najee Harris? How do you, Jarvis, balance best available versus position of need? Because we could talk about the offensive line. We could talk about the defense. I personally, as much as I love DeVonta Smith and Najee Harris, I think both would be a mistake at 4. I would rather go quarterback, offensive line, or trade down. What do you feel right now about pick 4?
You just named it for me. I'd rather go quarterback, offensive line. If not, if I can't get that, I'm trading down, because regardless of where you think this franchise is going to be in the next 3 years or the next 2 years, do you think number 2 is going to be at quarterback, or do you think 11 is going to be still lined up there out there wide receiver? Julio Jones and Matt Ryan, for those who don't know. I think that you have to go best player available outside of the wide receiver. Like, you don't really need a wide receiver, but I think that you can't pass on a quarterback that you really, really like. Because say, for instance, Justin Fields is number 1 on your draft board. That's the name that's everybody been throwing out there. So if Justin Fields is number 1 on your board and he's ranked the number 2 quarterback in the entire draft, more than likely he's going to be in the top 3 on people's draft boards across the board. So, and you're saying that you're going to pass on him if you're sitting there with the 4th overall pick? I don't think so. You shouldn't do that, because here's the thing. Even if you are looking to get rid of Matt Ryan in the next couple of years when it helps you from financially or from a salary cap standpoint, you have to have – it is a great model that I thought about over the weekend is the Green Bay Packers. Think about when the Green Bay Packers have been picking in the top 5 in the past 15 to 20 years. It's hard to really kind of pick that out, right? Because you know why? Because they had Brett Favre, who's a Hall of Famer, and they said, you know what? Towards the back of the end of the first round, this Aaron Rodgers guy, you know what? He was supposed to be picked in the top 15 or the top half of the draft. Let's go ahead and draft him. And they had him sit, and they had the Brett Favre's successor right there waiting in the wings.
Yeah.
And then guess what they did last year? They traded up to get Jordan Love and sat his behind right there on the bench. And, hey, here, learn our system. And when Aaron Rodgers is ready to roll, or we may have to get rid of him a year early, we have him ready to roll. And that's how organizations continue to be great. That's how organizations continue to be successful. That's how they sustain success. The New England Patriots model, that's an anomaly. It's hard to be that good for 20 years. Tom Brady, we'll probably never see that ever again, where a quarterback sustained that amount of success for that amount of time. So I think if the Falcons want to be an organization that's consistently good, you have a quarterback, you have a face of a franchise right now, and he's on the latter part of his career, go ahead and draft a successor so you could set yourself up to be good for the next 10 years.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I mean, this is, let's face it. If you can find that guy and he's going to be that dude, there's no way I'm passing on Justin Fields. I would actually even try to argue that I'd be willing to trade up for Justin Fields, but I don't know that how many people actually buy into that and agree with what I have to say on that. I'd move up to 3 or 2. If I knew this is my guy, there's no price that's too much for your franchise quarterback of 15 years. You bite the bullet, it's worth the price. But let me ask you one more. I just saw this come across my TV on the bottom line. ESPN and Adam Schefter are reporting that new Jaguar head coach Urban Meyer is considering former Falcon interim head coach Raheem Morris to be his DC. I think that would be a really good move for Urban Meyer. Do you think that comes to fruition, and is that the next step for Raheem to get a head coaching job?
You know what? To be honest with you, I think that's a great move. Here's why. Here, I'm going to give you the normal way of thinking that it's a good move, and then I'm going to give you my cynical way of thinking that it's a good move. Right, my normal way of thinking that it's a good move is that Raheem Morris interviewed down there in Jacksonville, and I think he's a great coach. I think he will be good to be able to establish some legitimacy with Urban Meyer because, you know, let's just be honest, there are going to be some guys that, you know what, he's a college coach, you know, he don't know how to handle grown men and all that stuff. That's never been an issue with Raheem Morris. He's a respectful guy, and I think he's an excellent coach, and I think he's a great hire for Urban Meyer. The cynicism in me says that Urban Meyer's probably not going to be around for only 2 or 3 years, and then you could be the guy that can step right into that role, just like he stepped into that role when he became the head coach for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I think this will be an excellent move for Raheem Morris. And if Urban Meyer offers him that job, if I'm Raheem, I'm taking that gig, hands down.
All right. I agree. Jarvis Davis, Falcons reporter, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Great stuff as always, buddy. Thank you for a few minutes.
All right. Thanks for having me, Nick. Have a good one, man.
Jarvis Davis joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. We will come back, stay with the football, but I got to transition to college football and the Dogs. Some really good things are on the horizon for the Georgia Bulldogs. I'll tell you why and why I'm feeling even better about it coming up next here on the Nick Kale Show. We're back after this. All right, the Atlanta Falcons have a new head coach. Arthur Smith is the man in Atlanta. Harry Douglas, former Falcon receiver. Of course, you hear him on 92.9 The Game. Was also a former Tennessee Titans wide receiver. He played for Arthur Smith. You'll hear his perspective coming up in less than 20 minutes. But let's get to the Dogs and some college football here this segment. And also, in about 5 minutes, you're going to hear from Brian Jones from CBS Sports, college football analyst, who had a really interesting take on Georgia football. We'll get to that in a moment. But first, for probably about a month now, on my show, I've said that I think in 2021, the Georgia Bulldogs offense will be one of the 10 most prolific offenses in college football. And a lot of that centers around JT Daniels coming back. JT Daniels has said he is returning for one more year in Athens. And I think when you look at what this offense was in the final 3 or 4 games when they went to JT Daniels, and you saw the offense just completely flip a switch from what they were with Stetson Bennett, this team is going to be scary good offensively next year. We already know defensively Georgia's always going to be good with Kirby Smart. They're going to be great in the trenches. They're going to be able to run the ball. But in modern-day college football, you got to be able to throw it if you want to win a national championship. You bring back JT Daniels. You have George Pickens, Kyrus Jackson, Burton, Washington at tight end, who's 6'7", 250. Maybe the biggest tight end in all of college football. Zamir White is coming back. James Cook. This offense is going to be scary good. And I really feel strongly about saying that they'll be one of the 10 best offenses in college football in regards to points per game, yards per play, any metric that matters in college football with offense, they're going to be elite. And then it just hit me to another degree this week. Peter Burns, who I like a lot from the SEC Network and ESPN, he's been a guest of this show multiple times, tweeted out a couple of things. And it just got me even more excited for what Georgia offense could be this upcoming fall. Peter Burns tweeted this a couple of days ago. In 2019, LSU's offense dominated college football, national championship. in 2020, Alabama offense dominated college football, national championship. In 2021, Georgia will do the same. Think about this trend, this pattern we are seeing. LSU, for years, couldn't score. Les Miles got fired. LSU played in games where they won 9-6. Defense, defense, defense. Couldn't throw the ball. Made a big switch. Ed Orgeron, Joe Brady, Steve Ensinger, Joe Burrow. Boom, 49 points a game. Alabama, the first half of the Nick Saban dynasty. Defense, run the ball, game manager at quarterback. Last couple of years, Alabama offense, Jalen Hurts, they go to the mobile quarterback, then they go to Tua, then they score 49 points a game, then they go to Mac Jones. We're a year removed from LSU maybe being the greatest college offense of all time, and Alabama's like, hold my beer. 2021, could that be the same with the Georgia Bulldogs? Defense, run the ball, game managers, Jake Fromm, Aaron Murray, David Green, DJ Shockley, and now all of a sudden, could Georgia offense score 47 points a game? I think it's possible. And it's interesting, Peter Burns from the SEC Network, he got tweeted about that, and people were saying, oh, give me a break, Georgia's not going to do that. And they pointed out past examples, and then Peter responded with, which I think is spot on, Clemsoning was a thing until it wasn't. LSU doesn't have an offense was a thing until it wasn't. Georgia football is cursed. They always find a way to come up unlucky, make the wrong decision, get close, don't finish. That could be a thing too, but it could end in 2021. And I've been very critical of Kirby Smart, but this is an alarming stat that I think does have some merit. There have been 221 coaches in college football since Kirby Smart started at Georgia. This is at the FBS level. 221 coaches. Here's the list of coaches that have 50 wins, a conference championship, and have played for a national title in that stretch. Nick Saban, Dabo Sweeney, and Kirby Smart. That's the list. Three coaches out of 221. He goes on to say the Kirby can't coach narrative is lazy. Lazy, yes, but is there merit to some of it? Yes, because I think Kirby has botched a lot of things. It has prevented him from going from good to great as a head coach. But here's a little bit more on if you maybe you're not truly buying in or you have your doubts about Georgia and what they can be offensively in 2021. Here is Brian Jones, college football analyst for CBS Sports on the Damon Amendola Show.
Yeah, man, I actually picked them versus Bama early in the season, and they made me look good the first half. That second half, see what happened was, my man Stetson Bennett started looking like a Stetson hat. That was about it, because he was all hat, no cattle, man. He just couldn't make those throws that JT Daniels can make. And if you get that, one right, get that piece right, you're cooking with gas. And not saying he's got to be up there with Mac Jones and things of the nature, but you got to be an accurate passer. You have to be a consistent passer. But I agree. Georgia's been in that number, man. They've been there, played Alabama terribly close, just coming up short a couple of times. But they know what to do. And Kirby Smart, having been there at Alabama, knows how to build a program. And you look at Sark, I would hope some of that gravy on Nick Saban's plate has spilled over onto his plate, and he's going to know how to amass a championship team. And as I said a moment ago, he won championship at USC. He turned Washington around. So this guy knows how to do it. I think that, you know, he'll come in and he'll just have his grandma would say, your nose to the grinding stone. And he'll get it done. But Georgia's right there. They're close, man. There's a reason I picked them to win versus them. But that defense was just unstoppable early on and then fell apart versus that balanced offense of Bama. But they're built similar. They're mirror images of each other. Just a better piece at the quarterback position and definitely some better pieces at the wide receiver position, because those guys, Pickens and others, didn't step up in that Bama game.
Okay, so that was Brian Jones, CBS Sports College Football Analyst for the SEC on CBS. He was on CBS Sports Radio with Damon Amendolara. So, I mean, here's the thing. I do think that Georgia's built in the same mold as Alabama. I mean, Kirby has put this team together to resemble Alabama defensively, offensive line, the running backs. The final step, obviously, is winning a national championship and doing something remotely close to what Saban has done as far as winning SEC championships and winning national championships. But the final piece is the evolution of the offense, because Nick Saban has said it. College football, you will no longer win national championships with great defenses. You got to have a great offense. You need a great offense and a good defense. And I think when you look at the Georgia Bulldogs, if JT Daniels does in 2021 what he did in four starts in 2020, this will end up being a college football playoff team. And now we're starting to see some of the rumors out there and the reports a couple of days ago that Will Muschamp, the former South Carolina coach, could end up becoming the defensive coordinator on Kirby Smart's staff. So if you have Monken running your offense, Muschamp running your defense, you're really set. It is just a matter of Kirby Smart, whether it's JT Daniels this year, Brock Vandegrift the next couple of years, taking that final step. And they don't need to be LSU 2019. They don't need to be Alabama 2020, but they have the potential to be a top 10 offense and score north of 40 points per game. And they're going to get the opportunity in week one of the college football season, right out of the gate, September the 4th, against the Clemson Tigers. Now, I don't know, actually, I don't want to say it's 100%. I don't know if Georgia has a cupcake game like around August 27th or 28th, and then they get Clemson on September 4th. I'm not sure if they have a layup to start, but they get Clemson on September 4th. That's either game one or game two. And this is going to be played in Charlotte, North Carolina. It's going to be a pro-Clemson crowd, but Trevor Lawrence is gone. I know DJ Uiagalelei is a very good quarterback, five-star, almost beat Notre Dame. But Travis Etienne is gone. I mean, you are setting up for 2021 to be a really good year for Kirby Smart and the Georgia Bulldogs. Think about everything that is left college football. I just mentioned, no Trevor Lawrence, no Travis Etienne. That's the Clemson game. How about this? Florida, no Kyle Trask, no Kyle Pitts, no Kadarius Toney, no Grimes, no Copeland. Florida's losing probably six guys to the NFL draft. They should take a step back. You don't have to play Alabama in the regular season. And oh, by the way, if you look at the Georgia Bulldogs' schedule for next year, they don't play any of the elite SEC West powers in the regular season. No Bama, no Texas A&M, no LSU. The stars are going to align in 2021 for the Georgia Bulldogs to be a college football playoff team. Beat Clemson, you should be undefeated going to play Alabama in Atlanta. Lose to Clemson, you should still only have one loss, still have the chance to beat Alabama in Atlanta and get to the playoff. I think the Dogs will start the season preseason top six, and in week one, right out of the gate, you get to put the world on notice. You get Clemson. I get it done. All right, that is it for hour number three. We will come back with Harry Douglas, who was on with Dukes and Bell in light of the Arthur Smith hiring. He played for Arthur in Tennessee, and he's got a great perspective. That's next here on the Nick Kale Show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.